grave tone.
Welcome to the Equinox. Please don't die.
Fuck you.
I got it.
I didn't think you were going to cut me off right at the beginning.
That's what you get. Welcome to the party. Are you ready to defend the house?
In case you don't know, welcome to Gravetone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
And I'm Arthur.
God.
What?
Is this like a bonus episode, sort of?
Kinda.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's a bonus episode.
But it doesn't count as a bonus.
No, not really. Anyway, sorry. We are doing a review today of a very fun upcoming release that's going to be coming out the 23rd of June. Yeah. So I think basically this episode will drop the day of release, right?
Like or before that.
Or before it, yeah.
No, but it's coming out on VOD.
Yes, correct. Yeah. It's getting a digital release. But the, I guess, extra little caveat to this is that this is actually the second time that we're watching this movie.
Mm-hmm. We've seen it at Fantasia last year.
Yes, where it absolutely had its premiere.
Absolutely loved it.
Where it's at,
yeah,
it
where had its premiere.
At we Fantasia absolutely last loved summer. It.
And now we were like, yep, give me a screener, please.
I want to rewatch
this.
I'm going
to rewatch it and talk about
and
it.
And so we can talk about it in more detail than we did.
That's right.
So as the title of this episode suggests, even though we're all over the place today, this film is called Hold the Fort. It is a horror comedy that had its premiere at Fantasia last summer. We saw it then, and we have actually talked about this movie a couple of times. One, when we did our like rapid fire reviews after we finished Fantasia last year. And then I think it was on your top 10 list.
It is.
It is. It is 100%.
Fucking great. Watched it again. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. We always love, and we've talked about this before between the two of us a lot, but I don't know if we have on the pod, the getting to see some films at like a film festival or something like Fantasia and then getting to see them actually get some sort of a release letter, whether it's a theatrical release, a streaming release on VOD, whatever the case may be. It's really cool to be able to like see it come back around and be like, woo, yay, it's here now and other people can watch it because I talked about it and then no one could see it for
ages.
Yeah,
that's it, right? It's like, okay.
Kind of.
It's only living in our memories.
Pretty much, yeah.
But no, but now it's good because like I feel like with the age of digital streaming and everything, I feel like a lot of things come on VOD now more than they used to.
Definitely, because it's opened more avenues, to be fair, for people, because you don't have to have a theatrical release anymore, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we're going to be doing a review of the film. It technically was released in 2025, but, you know, that's it. At the time that you're hearing this, you can find it on video on demand. Yay. It is a really very, like, tight, like basically 75 minutes. It's very short.
It's great.
It's very to the point.
Full of action.
Very much.
It's hilarious.
If you want like a very sort of self-aware action horror comedy.
Oh yeah.
It's a really good choice for that. It's very silly, goofy, but it completely knows that it is. And
which makes it work.
And not in a way that makes you like roll your eyes, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. And the premise is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and it's like a fun premise that I think a lot of people can probably relate to a degree, at least like at base level.
There's a lot of people who can relate to this premise.
Well, people who have to deal with HOAs.
Oh, I thought.
And stuff.
Talking about Portal from Hell.
No. Well, sometimes I'm sure it feels that way. Sometimes we deal with a condo board, that can be a pain in the ass. You know, like these things can feel that way. Being a homeowner in general can feel like that sometimes. So let me go over the IMDb synopsis that they've got, and then we can do a little bit of preliminary thoughts, cast, all that jazz, and then we can get into it the way that we normally do.
Yeah.
Sweet. After moving to the suburbs, a young couple find themselves trapped in an epic battle between their new HOA and an onslaught of monsters from hell. Yep. That's what the movie's about.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what it is.
Fucking love this premise. It's absolutely hilarious. It is. To expand a little bit more on it, I guess. Young couple moves into this beautiful neighborhood.
New development also.
New development-ish,
well, because it was like the old houses were all torn down and they've rebuilt these new places.
That's
now.
That's it. Yeah. And apparently it's like super cheap and it's super nice. And they're like, oh my God, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And of course there's an HOA. And the moment they move in, they are invited to the Equinox party.
Yeah. Which happens once a year.
It says, please don't die.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, well, that's really weird.
It is weird.
So they're like, okay, sure. They go there and they realize that literally the please don't die is for reals.
Yeah.
Because there's a portal from hell that opens once a year and there's a bunch of shit that comes out of it and you have to defend the fort.
Yep.
And you're therefore your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And survive.
Yes.
Which is something they had absolutely no idea because the guy didn't read the fine print in the contract.
It's all in the HOA contract.
Yeah, and people are like, they're like, what the heck? What do you mean you didn't know about this? It's right there.
It's literally on paper. And
why do you think we have no municipal taxes? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no property tax, apparently, which is crazy. And I would also assume something suspicious was going on if there was no property tax.
So it's literally this.
Yeah, so that's
it. It is exactly this. There's nothing else, which is great.
That's premise's base level. So this is the second, I think, feature film from writer-director William Bagley, who previously, I think it was 2021, released a film called The Murder Podcast, which we also watched.
We watched it right after and we were like, yep.
Which is, that's it, like, it's a totally different thing. It's obviously about people doing a true crime podcast who get wrapped up in something real that's going on. That's kind of all I'll say about it. And this, strangely, there are some... You could see that there were base ideas for this film in that movie, which was
interesting. I think it is a spinoff. I think it's a spinoff.
Yeah, it is. It must be. Or it exists in the same universe.
Yeah, that's it.
Because there's a character that makes a cameo. So, anyway, so this is his, I think, second feature from what we were looking at. That's it. It's just very, very fast-paced. There is no, like, we don't spend ages kind of waiting to get into anything. This movie
or
knows what it is.
Explain anything, which is great.
No, because, this movie knows what it is. You know, very much. And it just kind of takes you on the ride, and you just have to suspend your disbelief enough, and you'll be fine. It's great. So, preliminary thoughts about everything, just in general?
Like I said, Susie, I loved it. It is funny. I think there's a lot of lore to uncover in this movie.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot in this universe.
There's a lot in the universe. Practical effects are great, despite the fact that this movie was relatively cheap to make or had a lower budget.
Yeah.
From what I remember researching is that, like, a lot of the budget was crowdsourced, essentially, like 40K. I'm not saying it cost like 50K.
The credits they had, thank you to, like, that's crowdsourcers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's funny. There's some moments that, like, the writing is a little bit janky and maybe one of the characters is a little bit kind of, like, over the board.
But
everyone else really gives it their all, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You should watch it. It's just really fun time. It's a really good time.
Agreed. It's just, like, it's a really fun, very self-aware horror comedy. It's super, like, silly. It's goofy. It's definitely over the top, but it's, you know, supposed to be.
And that's it.
You're not really upset about it while you're watching it, because if you go in, I think, kind of realizing it's going to be kind of funny that way, you just have a really good time with it more than anything else. The cast really commits, which I totally appreciate. That's it. The practical effects are great. There's just, like, a lot of... It's just, like, a fun time, and I think it would be really fun to watch in a group.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let me go through cast really briefly so that we can kind of get into things in more detail. So, as mentioned, that's it. The couple who have moved into the neighborhood are Lucas, played by Chris Mayers, and Jenny, played by Haley Leary. We have Julian Smith, who plays Jerry, who is the HOA president. My favorite character. We'll talk about that later. We have Levi Burdick, who plays Ted, and Michelle Lamb, who plays his wife Annette, who are another couple who live in the neighborhood, as well as... Hamid Reza Benjamin Thompson, who plays a character called McScruffy, which we will get into later. And then there are a few other side characters. Tordy Clark plays a character named Leslie. There's a lot of cocaine in this movie. And it's Luke Michael Williams who plays the character of Marcus. That's it. So those are kind of like our major players, I would say, throughout the course of the film.
There you go.
All right.
In reality, there's like really...
Well, there's like a few, they're very background characters outside of that, so that's fine. Okay, Diggs.
Seriously?
Where are you?
Where it stands right now, this is where I am. I think this is because it's so fun, it's a solid like 6.5.
Yeah, okay, fair.
You know what? No, 6.5, that's it.
Okay, that's
not
fine.
Not changing my mind. No, it's okay. Just fun.
You gotta just go with your gut. We all know we would change our minds in a day, a week, a year. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably
I'm going to change my mind about this. This is great.
Yeah. I think I'm probably sitting at about the same place, I would say. Probably about like a 6.5.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a fun time.
That's it. It's really fun. I mean, like, look, if we compare it to everyone else, IMDb is a 5.6. Rotten Tomatoes 100%, which is great.
Wow.
Letterboxd is a 3/5. So that's pretty good.
Okay.
You know, Dread Central is a 3/5. So there you go.
That's it. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Let's get into... maybe slightly more detailed plot. We can talk about a little bit of stuff more in detail, talk about our favorite things, etc., etc.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
Alrighty. So, yes, as mentioned, that's it. The characters of Lucas and Jenny move into the neighborhood. They've moved from the city, so there you've got the whole vibe of like he wanted to move to the suburbs and like she liked the house, but she doesn't like that they're stuck with an HOA now. She was like comfortable in the city to a degree and
in
stuff,
a sense, yeah.
And is a little bit resistant to this whole, it's a very like golden retriever black cat kind of vibe that they have going on in terms of like their dynamic.
Oh yeah, it's true. Oh, yeah. That you put it that way.
Oh
yeah.
No, very much. Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. And so that's it. So they're kind of trying to like, you know, get used to their new neighborhood. It basically, like we said, everything kicks off almost right away. There is a cold open at the beginning of an older couple.
Yes, it's true.
Who are discussing selling their property. And this is obviously a year or two prior mm-hmm. where this is happening. They're selling their property, but the husband doesn't want to, but something's happened and something attacks them in their house. And we see Jerry and the real estate developer, I can only assume, arrive the next morning. The wife is still there and she's like, yeah, yeah, we're going to sell the house. It's fine. Yeah. So then we've seen that that's it. Obviously, a year or two later, everything's been overhauled. All these cute little houses have been built up. And there's, of course, a whole HOA that's in place. Jerry, who is talking a little bit at the beginning about becoming the HOA president, has obviously taken on that role. And he is extremely enthusiastic and invites Lucas and Jenny to the Equinox party, they call it. And they're like, okay, cool, I guess a party. Well, Jenny is not. But Lucas is like, woo, let's go get to know the neighbors. And she's like, oh, fuck my life. This is
they
me.
Literally just moved in. Like, they had
like
boxes.
They're still unpacking boxes. Yeah, I also it. Would be like, no, thank you. anyway, so they head over to the, like, club. What is that called? Is there, like, a thing in people's neighborhoods where there's, like a main building?
Yeah.
Like, for where the HOA, where the HOA, like, meetings happen,
the
I
fort.
Guess? It's not a fort. Stop it. Because I've seen other movies and stuff where, like, okay, we don't live in the States, but I've seen other movies and stuff where the HOA... It just, like, they'll go to someone's house, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, somebody's house, so I don't know if this happens in certain neighborhoods, maybe, if it's just, like, there's, like, a central location.
I guess so.
I guess. Whatever. Anyway, they go to the party. They meet some of the neighbors. It's a very colorful cast of characters. Mostly we meet, like, Ted and Annette, who seem fun. Annette
yeah.
makes moonshine at home, and it's, like, what'd she say, 190
proof? The 190
proof. It's nuts.
It's insane. It's literally flammable.
Yeah.
Like...
And so throughout the course of the meeting, things are a little bit weird because they do like a raffle and one of the
for
things,
like weapons.
One of the things they're raffling off is a shotgun and Lucas wins it and is like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? And then there's talk about how, you know, everyone needs to be prepared basically.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, it's your first year with the Equinox. And they're both kind of like, what the fuckity fuck are we talking about right now? Like, what's going on? And so of course, as the evening progresses, we come to find out that every single year at the same time, there is a portal to hell that opens up basically in the middle of the neighborhood. And so everyone gathers in this like clubhouse situation
yeah.
or fort that they have, and they have to defend the neighborhood from all manner of different types of supernatural beings.
For one night.
For one night.
Just overnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when you make it through that, everything goes back to normal for the rest of the year. Apparently everything stays beautiful in the neighborhood. There are, like we said, that's it. The mortgage is very inexpensive, or the houses are very inexpensive, and there are no property taxes.
Yeah. And also the police doesn't come to help you.
So no.
you, that's why you literally have to defend it yourself.
Yes, that was part of the arrangement, apparently, when they realized that there was a literal fucking portal to hell
yeah.
in the neighborhood. They wanted to keep the development so badly that they made a deal with law enforcement that they're like their own separate county almost.
Basically.
So they do not have law enforcement that will go there.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah. Not really.
I mean.
It's not great.
That's not bad. I would move there.
Given the portal to hell situation, it's not great. Although it does definitely seem like the kind of neighborhood in which, just due to circumstance, all of the neighbors, like, no one's shitty to each other. Everybody
yeah.
helps with everything.
Yeah, it's great.
Which is nice.
Exactly.
You know, because don't we.
Nice neighbors.
Yeah, that's it. Because don't we see, like, they talk about it at different times, right? Like, Marcus will change everyone's oil for free and stuff because he's a mechanic. Like,
that's
nice.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway. So. Getting into, I guess, some of our favorite bits of this. What were the things that you liked the most about this?
Yo, okay. You might say it's kind of the same as you, but Jerry.
Fucking hell, he's so
funny.
Oh,
my God.
I was taking a look because I was
absolutely
really curious
character.
About Julian Smith because
yeah.
I've not seen him in anything else before. He seems to do a lot of directing, actually, which is cool. Like some directing credits, some cinematography, as well as just like a very few little... bits here and there, like episodes of TV, a music video, and literally this film. So
okay.
I'm kind of hoping he also continues to
That'd
do some more
great.
Acting because he's so funny.
Get in front of the camera, man.
He's
absolutely
so
hilarious.
Funny.
The character was fucking funny. I'm actually a little bit sad it was it was a little bit underused.
Yeah, there were some parts in the latter half of the film where, unfortunately, he doesn't get to do much.
Yeah, because he ate too many cheese sticks.
Yes.
That had muscle relaxants.
Yeah, because the crazy drug addict of the neighborhood, Leslie, has, like, made cheese sticks for the Equinox party, and she says she's put muscle relaxants in them, and Jerry laughs it off, and it turns out he's eaten like 6 or 7 of them.
Exactly.
But she actually did put muscle relaxants in them, so he's out of commission.
He's just like a limp body that people just keep moving around, and he's trying to help out with the things that he knows.
Exactly.
You know, so yes.
He is
my favorite part.
He's my favorite character. Easily, he's my favorite character. He's so funny. Probably him followed by like Ted and Annette. Ted and Annette were great.
Yeah.
They were really fun. Also, Leslie is funny, even though she's like insane. But I appreciated it anyway.
It's fucking funny what they did with her. Like, I don't even want to talk about what it is because you just have to check it out.
No, it's so much funnier if you watch.
There's some scenes that I was pissing my pants.
Yeah, there is. No, it's much funnier if you just kind of watch it. But yes, Jerry is hilarious. He is such a dedicated HOA president, which I think is also supposed to be part of the joke.
Yes.
That he's like so involved and so into all of this. It's like those people who are way too overzealous about these things and everyone's like, calm down. It's like that, but it's very funny. Yeah, I'm just going to copy you because he's my first favorite as well.
That's fine.
There's just like nothing else for me to say about him. He's hilarious. I loved him.
I would say the second best thing for me about this movie is just the variety of the things that come from that portal. Because from what we are given to understand is that sometimes there's the similar ones that kind of resurface. You know, there's the witches. They're like, oh yeah, they basically come out every year.
Yes.
And they know exactly what to do about it. But sometimes there's some that are kind of like surprising and you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right? In this movie specifically, we had what? We had witches?
Yes.
We had...
Spirit ninjas?
Spirit ninjas. But it's literally a spirit that possesses you.
Yes.
And you become a ninja.
Like a kung fu expert.
Yeah. But also like...
Kind of a zombie?
Kind of a zombie? Yeah. I don't know. You're kind of like possessed, but also bleeding from your mouth.
It's very ambiguous.
But you're also a zombie, ninja.
I feel like when the spirit takes you over, it kills you, I guess.
I guess so.
And then you're sort of a reanimated corpse that it utilizes for kung fu purposes.
I guess. Anyways, fucking hilarious. I don't know. There was a werewolf, which, you know, standard.
The werewolf
pretty
was
great.
Fun. Yeah.
Werewolf was like incredible practical effects on that. That was really cool.
And then there's the final boss.
There's the stick man.
Yes.
Which is apparently very scary and everything.
It is scary.
But wait. The best one. We forgot the best one.
What are you talking about?
The kamikaze bats.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about those. Those were fun.
Every time.
It's just because they're called kamikaze bats that you like them so
much. Okay, they're also bats who like fly into you and explode.
They explode.
It's fucking hilarious.
A lot of things and people that explode in this film.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of explosion. Shit just goes poof and there's blood everywhere. And you're like, whoa. Okay.
So let me tell you, the diversity of this stuff is great.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's so funny.
That's not always something that you get to see is like a whole big group of different types of like supernatural beings. Normally, like you're dealing with one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
It is fun. I think my second favorite thing is probably the fight sequences in the film.
Yeah.
I actually thought they were really great.
They were really
fun. I thought the choreographies were great. The stunts were really good. Everything was, again, it's very action-packed, and I love that it just, like, flows quite well throughout the course of the story. I didn't really feel like it was laggy at any time. I mean,
no,
it would be hard to be. It was, like, it's, like, 70 or 75 minutes long, so it's not long. So with that in mind, that kind of makes sense, but it was just... All of the action sequences, you got to see a lot of what was going on, which is great. It wasn't like flash, flash, flash to like a different person. So you're like missing half of what's going on. You were really able to kind of follow everything. And the fight choreography, I thought, was really good.
No, it was really good. Yeah. Like we said, we watched the Murder Podcast movie right after.
Yes.
Which was done 4 years before.
Three
it was 2021.
3 years before.
2021.
Years.
This was 2025. So 4-ish, whatever, something like that. And that movie was definitely, you know, less refined.
It was a little bit laggier, longer,
whatever it is. So, like, I feel like we actually were talking about it in the movies that all of that was taken from the Murder Podcast and brought into this movie and improved, you know?
Yeah, honestly,
it's faster,
yeah.
It's tighter, it's a little bit quicker pace. Those are just all synonyms.
No.
But
you're saying the same
I'm
thing.
I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like, it was just improved.
It's true.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I agree. Because, like, we thought Murder Podcast was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Overall, but yeah, there were definitely some laggy bits in the latter, like, third of the film, to a degree. Mm-hmm. Also, Hold the Fort, I would argue, has more likable characters overall.
That is true.
in my opinion.
Yes. The writing in there is better that way.
Agreed. I thought that the characters were written to be a little bit more likable overall, regardless of who they were. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, your second one. What's your second one?
No, that would be my third one.
Did you? Oh, God. Yes, you're right. Sorry.
You're not even listening to me.
No, I'm ignoring you now. Okay, sorry. What's your third?
My third favorite thing about the movie, I want to say, is the main character, Lucas, but not like the character himself.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that the story was written almost around him.
Kind of.
But also not around him. You know what I mean? Like, he is technically there to have exposition told to him.
Yeah, so no, that you're
right. We understand what's happening.
Yes.
But it's not done in a bad way. You know, it's like, it's not done in a stupid way. A lot of it makes sense.
Yes.
And it's just not a dump. It's everything. Like, it happens in the right timings and everything. You know what I'm saying? Because
for Lucas, the thing that works, right, is that, you know, you want to be like, oh, you fucking idiot, because that's it. He didn't read the HOA contract, et cetera, et cetera. But also you're like, who would read through the entire fucking HOA contract? It's probably like 100 pages long.
Probably.
You know?
I mean, I don't know. And if so it's 5 pages, I'll read it.
Five pages, yes. But if we're honest, when there are like big fucking stacks of paperwork, a lot of us in general, it's like accepting terms and conditions on a website, guys. A lot of you just scroll to the bottom, you hit I accept, and then you click continue, and that's how you do it. And unfortunately, that's what happens very frequently. So you can kind of see how we got to this place with this character.
Okay, but then to be fair, everyone read it, apparently.
Well, the other people did, but also, like, a lot of the people who are there are older and things like that, so they've paid more attention. Like, I get the feeling Ted seems like he very much follows the rules for things.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, for him, it was obviously very important, and he has a lot of pride in the neighborhood, right, as a character. Mm-hmm, so I feel like that's probably part of the reason. Yeah. Although it's interesting to me that nobody ever gives Jenny shit. Like, you're also buying the house. You didn't read through that fucking HOA contract. Because
Jenny, she was drunk as fuck, man.
No, but she was, fine. So I think it's just because she's more likable.
She is. She was also actually helping because she's a nurse.
But that's what I mean. I think it's because she's like a more likable person. Yeah, instead of him. Nobody gives her a shit, Lucas, but him, they're like, everything. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, he fucked everything.
He does. It's true.
So anyways, that's why this is my third favorite thing, is that his character, the way that the story was written around him is one of my favorite things because, like we said, he fucks shit up, which makes the situation hilarious and a disaster. And we also learn more because he didn't read the contract.
Correct.
Everyone has to explain things to him throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Like the whole chest thing.
Yes.
You know, that there's like different weapons been accumulated throughout the years to kill people's, the monsters in a specific way.
Yeah, all the different types of different entities or whatever that come out of
like the spirit portal. Ninjas, they can only be killed with a pink
peachwood sword.
Peachwood sword.
Yes, it's specifically a sword from a peach tree, which, like, what the fuck?
I don't know. Hilarious. Yes. I swear to God, I really, really hope that I didn't make a second one or even an animated thing. YouTube something, whatever. It would be so funny to explore all of this.
It could be fun to explore things with like more of the different types of creatures that start to appear and stuff. Who knows? Maybe they will. It's possible.
What's your last one?
Yeah, I think my last one, I think I'll go with, there are like a good few things that I really enjoyed other than this, but I will go with the practical effects because I thought overall they looked really good. The makeup looked great on a lot of
especially
the different creatures.
Especially on the stick man.
The stick man looked so fucking cool. He was like half an alien. It was cool.
Yeah.
It looked really good. He was all like weird and blue and gooey. Anyway, you gotta watch it. But like, he looked good. I loved how campy the werewolf was. I thought it was so fun with its big teeth and snout. And it looked like
It looked big like man
an old-fashioned, it looked like an old-fashioned version of a werewolf, like a guy in a suit.
That's it, exactly,
like a very big suit, obviously. This person was like 7 feet tall with like a big whole headpiece and mask on top of him and stuff, but it looked really good regardless. The makeup on the witches looked good.
Yep.
You know, like everybody, it worked. And like the gore effects and stuff I thought were really good too when people were like getting hurt and things. Thought that worked really well. Anyway,
Seriously, 100% agree.
Yeah,
great.
I just feel like there was a lot to like about it because there are like a couple of characters that get injured. Like Lucas winds up with like blood and guts on him for half the movie.
Anytime someone exploded,
and
there's a lot of those things happening, it just goes on his face. It didn't matter what angle he was on. It just
or that it was also close
splattered.
To someone else, it wouldn't splatter anybody.
That's so fucking funny.
Well, it's like a recurring joke and it's funny throughout the course of the film, right? I think really from like any other perspective, the only thing that I was like a little less jazzed about was probably the McScruffy character to a degree. So we haven't really talked about him yet.
Yes, okay. So the McScruffy character essentially is this guy that they've hired, the whole HOA hired. Mm-hmm. because he's some kind of like
a weapons expert, I guess.
Weapons expert, super cool guy that is a marksman.
Yeah.
So they hired him to help them out every year.
Yeah.
And I guess he gets to live there for free or whatever it is anyways.
I assume.
So he's like, everyone's like super excited that he's there because, you know, they haven't had deaths in like the last 5 or 10 years or something like that.
They were saying like in the last, well, 2 years, like since the place has existed, they haven't had a death.
Okay, that's it. There you go. And he is weird.
Yes.
That character is a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
I would say.
Well, he's very over the top. But
compared
to
everyone else.
Like the movie is over the top.
Yeah,
but
he was like
it's a
little bit too much.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit too much. And that's kind of like, I also agree with you, Megan, that that character is just a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And it fits
for me.
He was
just a little, just that little like, yep, we've gone right past that line where I'm like, okay, this is a bit much now.
Yeah, that's it.
Like it's funny to an extent. And actually the plot device of having this character exist is very smart in the sense that you would do something like that, wouldn't you? You'd hire a professional to help you with this. And they're literally saying that's it. No one's died the last couple of years, but everything gets fucked up because Lucas accidentally shoots McScruffy.
Yeah, in the leg. The guy's bleeding out.
Yeah. So that's it. Like the plot device of having the character there, great. And I mean, like the actor is like fully, fully committed. I cannot fault him at all. I thought he was quite funny. But yeah, I just found like the writing and stuff for the character was kind of over the top. And I was like, okay.
But just that one character.
Yes.
That's it.
Everyone else is great. Nobody else really felt that way. Everybody else kind of felt like they were where they were supposed to be. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, fun.
Man, that's it.
That's it. Anyway, it's a fun film. It's fun to see, like, that's it, all of the different kinds of creatures that they've come up with and how all of the sort of sequence of events that occurs throughout the course of the evening, how they finally, you know, find a way to solve things. There's a couple of moments of, like genuinely emotional moments in the film. I won't give away what it is.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
But they're, like, you know, there's a character that dies at one point, and it was actually really sad. I was like, oh, my God, why am I feeling so sad about this? And, like, a movie that is so, like, goofy like this, I wasn't
expecting
it to
be. And quick also, like, you don't really get attached to the characters that much, you know?
I wasn't expecting it to be so heartfelt, but I felt like it really was. And I was not sure, like, rewatching it this time if I would still feel that way. And I did.
I was still,
oh no, I'm sad. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like a really fun time. It's super quick to watch, which is great. It's just like a fun, cool film that kind of, it really deserves to be getting like a release. So I'm really glad that it is getting one. And I'm hoping that, you know, this will give William Bagley like a little bit more to be able to kind of keep expanding on certain things. Because if he does create his own funny little universe in which a bunch of these characters exist, that would be fun. Because there is a scene right at the end of the film where the lead character from the Murder Podcast appears at the end of Hold the Fort and has like moved into the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
That they're
true.
Living in. And at first, and I was, you don't catch it. We hadn't seen the movie at first. So I didn't catch it necessarily. And then we watched the Murder Podcast right after. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, that guy is literally just at the end of Hold the Fort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like connections there and everything. And there's more even than that.
Yes.
In the Murder Podcast. Anyways.
Yeah, crazy. So there's Magic Doesn't Stop Bullets is something that comes up.
Oh my God, they keep repeating it
all
the time.
So that comes up a bunch in this, but it's introduced in the Murder Podcast. There's a commercial on TV that the characters are watching and someone says that because it's like some sort of, I don't know.
It's a witch. It's literally the same thing.
It's like
a witch throwing
or something,
a green ball at this character. Yeah. And that's what happens in
Hold
the Fort.
And it shoots, they shoot the witch and they're like, Magic Doesn't Stop Bullets. And you're like... Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of one-liners like this that are some funny, some are like, oh, my God, okay.
Oh, my God, okay.
But, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but overall, it's just tied up into a really fun package, and it's just, like, a good entertaining time that I feel also really works well for, like, we're heading into the summer season sort of thing. It's just, like, a fun, easy movie to watch at this time of year, so it's
I agree.
Cool. I really liked
Definitely.
It. Yeah, it's so fun. Anyway. I have no idea what's happening next week, but I'm assuming that we...
Something's going to happen.
We're going to have something for you.
We're going to have something.
True. We do have... We did recently record a childhood trauma episode that we're going to be getting out. We also have another recording for one of those that they're going to be coming up with some other friends of ours as well.
Yeah.
Yay. So we'll have all of those happening. We're heading into July. Holy shit. Evil Dead Burn, Fantasia.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm so pumped.
Let's do it.
It's going to be a really good summer, so that'll be very nice. In the meantime, obviously, check out all of our socials. We're at Gravetone Pod, so you can check out everything we have going on over there and all of new episodes coming out. You can also check out the website at gravetonepod.com. All of the episodes are also archived there, and we also have our horror movie picker quiz, which is this movie on our picker quiz? Maybe. If it's not, we'll add it.
If it's not, it is now that you're listening on it. Because I'm going to do it right now.
Because we're going to add it. It's four questions. If you can't decide what to watch tonight, like a lot of us have problems with, you can just go through, answer four questions, and it'll give you suggestions.
Curated
suggestions. And they're only movies that we actually like.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Keep that in mind. Anyway, in the meantime, guys, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.